Good afternoon, America, and good morning, Australia. Welcome back to Radio Tony, a conversation with Kez. I'm Tony Lontis, and we have shifted our show from station two to station one. And now we are on Wednesdays in Australia and Tuesday afternoon in America. So I have a gorgeous co-host with me each and every week, the glorious Kez Wickham St. George, international best-selling author. And this show is about all things authors, artists, books, publishing, and anything else in between. For those of you that are listening live on social media, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitch, welcome. And thanks for listening in today on the live show. If you need to hear any information about Radio Tony or Tony TV, head over to radiotony.com, where you will find all the information you need about Kez and how you can work with her. She does amazing book coaching for anyone thinking of writing a story or publishing a book. Kez is your gal. Now, Kez has just also, the other thing I wanted to mention too is that the replay of these live shows is available across the world on Binge TV networks, where Tony TV has its own channel. And of course, if you've got an LG, Samsung, or Roku smart TV, Tony TV has its own app and you can catch up with all the shows there. So, Kez is the driver of her own creativity, and her passion is to inspire and nurture others to tell their stories. Her values are simple. When you touch a heart, you can change your life. And by encouraging you to write or journal, her belief is it will only add value to your life. So before the show, just to let you know, we've had a couple of technical issues. It seems to be a week of technical issues. For those of you that follow the cycles of the moon, here in Australia tonight, we're expecting what they call a blood moon and solar eclipse. And it's one of those rare moments in time when the sun, the moon, and the earth are completely aligned, and it turns the big supermoon bright orange. So that happens in a really wonderfully good time for us to watch in the eastern states of Australia. I'm thinking it would be similar in the western states where Kez is, but at about 8:45 tonight, we'll see that happen, that eclipse happen full, and I'm going to go down to the beach and watch, I think, if it's not too cold. One of the other things I wanted to talk to you today about was my new co-authored book with Corey Poynter from the US. It's being launched on Amazon as we speak, and it's expected to become a bestseller this week. The book that I'm involved in is called Blue Talks, Business, Life and Universe, Volume 4. And the book is part of a series, think Chicken Soup meets TEDx. And its stories are inspirational, educational, motivatable, and above all, vulnerable. So there's about 30 of us in a co-authored book, and we've bared our souls, and truly, this book will change your life. If you want a copy, just jump on to www.bluetalksbook.com. Now, today, Kez and I are going to be talking about the art of writing. Kez, writing is an artwork, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. You just can't sit down, scribble a word, and think I'm going to publish.
Absolutely. And even though people have wonderful stories to tell, writing is actually a skill that you need to develop and work on. I don't know of any writers who haven't done years of writing before they get to publication of a book. And some writers actually never publish books, do they, Kes?
No, you're right there, Tony. There has, right through history, there's been the very odd, I don't odd in a derogatory way, but the odd writer that hits it off. Just, look at the different movies we've seen, and you think, I haven't heard of that writer before, and you look at it and you think
Yes.
they're first on the rank. So how did they get there? It's pure luck. But
Yeah.
to be, there's one thing as a writer to expect to be published. You have to be consistent. If you're not
Yes.
consistent every day putting something in a journal, then the ideas won't flow. And all writing is creative.
Absolutely. I too believe that all writing is created. And when I was researching for this article, this show today, rather, there was lots of talk about creating a why behind each piece of writing. And so, as you mentioned, one of my daily practices is writing in my gratitude journal. So the why behind that writing is obviously gratitude. Is there always a why behind the things that you write about, Kez?
Not always, no. Sometimes I just inform my guests. If I'm journaling and I'm doing a podcast with it can be such simple things. Like today, for instance, I'm actually cutting bush from my backyard to give to a temple because they're having a huge celebration, and they know I've got some beautiful plants in the backyard, so they approached me. Sure. That will be journaled, but I'm sure as time goes by, I'll be able to get lost in the forest and meet wild animals. I'm sure I will. That's how creativity works, when you are, whatever your day jobs are.
I was going to say, when you talk about cutting foliage for a temple, my mind seems to go straight to, oh gosh, I wonder how Kez will use that in one of her books in the future, because it seems that our everyday life often informs something that starts a spark of what we might expect in a book from you in the future. So you might, that cutting of the brush today and might lead to a thought about the temple that you're donating it to, and what do they worship? How do they worship? What's their religion about? So that's where my mind goes. And I don't know if that's how other writers think, but is that how you think, Kes?
Definitely. And also part of the ceremony, I won't be going there for the full ceremony. I'll be going there to do the floral art. But what gets me is, and this is only the second time we've ever done it, is the silence in the temple. And that helped your creative brain. When you've got nothing but silence, where do you go? And the first time I found it quite distracting. But the second time, yesterday I found it. I could use it. I could use it to calm. And journaling takes care of all those things. It takes care of every mood you've ever had. You don't have to write screeds and screeds of paper. Just, I've had a crappy day. That's all that you need to take. And then the next day, I've had a wonderful day. And see, what I try and do is if I've had a day that hasn't really gone well, I will look into that day and think, what did go well? I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm still here.
And some
And that.
days it is just, gosh, I'm still here. I made it through the day. Some days are just like that, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. You can't get that's growth. You can't get away from it. So at the end of the day, I normally write before I go to sleep, I journal. But I know out of those journals I have created, four or five bestsellers. So it's always a journey, and I actually have allowed myself to let go within those journals. So whatever I write is my business. But you know, I find it very cathartic to do that personally. And also, when you're writing and you've got your diary full of words, I like to actually play with words. So when I've got a word and I don't understand what it means, like when I see a word and I don't understand what it means, I'll play with it and I will go to the dictionary and find out what it means. I'll go to the thesaurus and find out what it means. I'll ask people until I'm happy because I have to be happy with that word to put it in a book. Does that make sense?
Are there often words you come across that you've not heard before?
Definitely. I'm actually helping a young lady at the moment, and she's Spanish background, but brought up in Spain, but has Pakistani parents. So the language she uses, I have to go back and think, I have to ask her all the time, what does that mean? Because I've never heard of it. And I've been writing for many years, and yet she uses words, and she got back to me, I thought you were a professional writing consultant. I said, I am, but I still have questions. And if I don't understand a word, like, it's a word in her language, I don't understand. So yeah, it's getting down to nitty-gritty, and so I have to say to her, explain to me that word, and then we'll break it up. To put back in, you've got to, if you've got a big word and it really doesn't make sense and you understand the meaning of it, try and break it up to fit into your what you're trying to do.
When you're working with people who have English as not their first language, do you still is it hard to then read what they've written and transpose it into the English language so that everyone can understand? Is that difficult sometimes?
I don't transcribe like that. I will get back to them and say, what does that mean? And they have, I've had my books interpreted, so I believe, into German and Swiss. But and the lang and the language is quite familiar, so I believe. Now, I have not seen these books. It was through an agent. So I saw the covers. And I saw the names come up in their language, and I thought it means nothing to me because it was the cover I'd chosen, yeah. But the name was
Like the
totally strange.
happens. Do
Yeah.
you
So, yeah,
know
it's
if it does it lose it some of its meanings, meaning being translated into another language, or does it still keep essentially the same meaning of the story?
essentially the same. Yeah. Yeah. I can't change the story.
Fantastic. No, but I know from working with lots of different people from different backgrounds, sometimes what they mean doesn't quite translate into the English that we understand. So you've got to
Yes,
play
yeah.
around with the words and to make it work for everyone. Because when I was researching the art of writing, and that was the words that came to me this week, the art of writing. And it is an art form, isn't it?
It is definitely. Yep. There's a, when you're asked to describe, if you're an artist and you go into an exhibition, you are the one thing you are asked to do is to put a description so your client can understand what it's about. The colors may be absolutely stunning and everybody goes, ooh, ah, but what was the emotion that made you paint? And you've got to write that. You've got to put it into words. Now, how do you put, and this is the art of being a writer, is okay, you were doing a piece of artwork and you suddenly felt anger, so your strokes will get stronger. Now, as an artist, I understand this, but to put, you can't put that down. I was really angry when I painted this. You can't write that. So then you've got to
No.
decide, you've got to pull it apart, you've got to tease out the words and make it creative. So not only the art piece, because the description will be given to them either in the program or on a private letter. And so when a person buys a piece of my artwork, they get a private letter from me describing the piece of artwork. So I've got to tease it out and make it sound beautiful and creative, not I flung art on a piece of canvas because I was so angry. And that might have been the case on that day, but, you know,
yes,
you've got to be very artistic with your words.
Yes. Do you, if you are painting and you're angry and you've got those harsh brush marks on the canvas, how do you write about that? Do you write about where the anger comes from? Because sometimes you don't always know where the anger you experience comes from, do you?
Well, that's a personal thing that happens in the studio. If you're angry or upset in any way or form, and you've got the piece before you, your artwork before you. There's only two things you can do. You can either have a good cry and throw something at the canvas.
Yeah.
Or you can just get on with it and you can work through it. So that's when the creativity comes through. You know, there's nothing like using, you know, you're upset. So you bring out calming colours. And that's all there is to it, you know. You work with what nature gives you. So it's all calming. Around my studio, it's all green and flowers. Yeah. And then I may have had, just say an upsetting phone call, right? So I go into the shed and I think, right, or the studio as we call it. I go into the studio and I think, okay, I've got to finish this piece of artwork for our client who's picking it up tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And I've got to get busy because I've got to finish it. That's when I find that if I can journal, I have a book in my studio. I journal.
Uh-huh.
Why did this phone call? I don't know why the phone call happened, but it left me feeling and bring up that feeling and get out the palette of colors. If it's still a very strong emotion, then use those colors onto the canvas if you can. Mm-hmm. If it's not. Ruin it.
Yeah.
Transfer your anger. Get rid of it. And that's what we do in writing and in artwork.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not always to do with anger, Tony. Most of my days are beautiful and peaceful. Yes. And that's what goes onto the canvas and in the books.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know that you've always written. Have you always painted? I don't think I've asked you that before. You've always painted as well as.
Yes, as a little girl, always played with paint.
I don't paint, but the people that I've talked to who do talk about the way that it transforms their mind and calms and soothes them, even when they've been angry or upset. And obviously, that works for you as well. As a calming and soothing therapeutic tool. Mm. Yeah. And
That's what I mean.
You go.
That's what I've been teaching. You know, I teach art.
Yes.
So it's very, very modern way of teaching, but it's so calming. I call the whole class step back. Because I actually feel like I'm taking a step back, taking a breath. And these beautiful, I teach a lot of seniors. So these senior ladies come to me and they say, life's not too good at the moment. And so we bring out the canvas, bring out the paints. I let them choose what they want. And they play. And that's another area to being artistic.
Yes. That playful part that allows.
Playing, yeah. Mm. So it's not just sitting down and writing. It's not just sitting down and writing, Tony. It's learning to play with that word, you know, tease it out, find out what it means. Don't get impatient that I can't be bothered, because that one word may be the actual key to the lock in your book and you don't know that.
Okay. When I was doing the research for today, I was looking at all the different types of writing, and as you said at the beginning of the show, I consider all writing creative no matter where it springs from, but doing the research, they sort of defined it into five different types of writing, expository, descriptive, narrative, persuasive, and creative. And as you said, I thought that all writing was created or came from a creative portion of our brain. But it seems that they categorize it in those five ways. So the first one that I explored was the idea that you want to explain or expose information, convey it to the reader and give them a better understanding of something. Kez, what do you think about these five types?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
Not all work's creative. I mean, if you read a medical document, it's not creative. You know,
no, it's technical.
Yeah, they are. They're words I will never understand, but I still love reading medical papers. There's in those words, because I try and pick out the ones I do understand and think, I know what's wrong. Yeah. It's just a case of that when you are a writer, feeling what you want to write about. What are you? Mm-hmm. Are you a descriptive writer? Are you an adventurous writer? Are you willing to go that extra mile for your clients and take them on that journey? Yeah. If you're a creative writer, you take people away on your journey with you. If you're not a creative writer, then sit down and find out what sort of writer you are.
The one that I found, of course, I love the creative part of writing, but the one that I found most interesting was that pervasive or persuasive writing, that form of nonfiction writing that encourages arguments or logical expression or cohesive discussion. That was the one, when I was reading about that, I thought that was most interesting, because if you craft your words around an argument, it has the power to change the mind of a reader, doesn't it?
That's right. I get lots of comments on my book, on my books,
yes,
because I write about the adventures and the people I meet. Now, everyone I meet, and they tell me their story, I have to craft that into a readable piece.
Yes.
But, Tony, you should know, with the last book that you've just been part of as a co-author, it's not all roses. So you've had to craft your words around the fact that what you said in that book might have been an unpleasant experience. I don't know. I haven't read it. But you had to craft your words around that experience to put it on paper. You can't actually write, I had such and such a day, and expect people to read it without crafting your words. So it is an art form.
And the other thing, is too that you find, so the story remains the same if it's a life story, but the way that you write it changes dependent on what you're writing it for. So the writing for a novel is different from the writing of a book, is different from writing for a magazine or writing for an article. And as you said, it's about crafting those words for that particular genre, which leads us to all the different avenues that if you're a writer and you love writing and you want to continue to grow in your writing, there's lots of other places that you can write, isn't there, Kez? Not just books.
Oh, yes. No. All depends where you want to take your story. Now, my stories have been a pantomime. I got very involved in that, so three beautiful little children did a pantomime of one of my children's stories. Now, that book is called Pelly the Pelican, is now in two palaces with a recording of the pantomime. So I didn't know it was going to go. I had no idea. I know, it's fabulous. But I had no idea when I wrote the book how fabulous it was all going to be. And it started off pantomime in my local town hall, and we invited the doors were just open. It was advertised. And next thing you know, I'm getting requests from the royals. Can we send the books? And I thought, well, why not?
Aww.
So we actually videoed it. We got these girls to dress up and they had big feather. I made all the, you see, another part of being creative is I made their costumes. And I'm not very good at that sort of thing, but we had so much fun. You know, if you can't have fun with your craft, you know, it's not always going to be fun, but try and have fun with it. I mean, the second part of writing a book is, as if it's an adult book, is make sure you involve your reader. Also, apart from that, I'm having a short movie made of one of my synopsises
I
of the
know,
book.
how exciting is that?
But who would have thought? I wrote a book.
I would have thought. I would have thought.
No, I
I
didn't.
don't see any. But you did it.
It never even came into the equation. And I said to a friend who is a script writer, she came for lunch. I had no thoughts in my head, no, nothing. What are we going to do for lunch? Ha ha ha, funny day. Laughing and chuckling. She said, show me your next book. So I showed her. She went, oh my God, the synopsis. I can make a short movie. We're doing it. So that's where your writing can
I
take
know.
you. So there's been a, just with my own experience, I've had a pantomime that's gone to royal palaces and a book. I've had, we're having a movie made. And I also, you know, it just went, these two books I've written recently have gone far and wide to places I never expected them to go to. So there's TV scripts and people, you know, if you've got the contacts, show them your work.
Yes,
You know,
absolutely.
next
And
year I want to, yeah, carry on.
it is about connecting with people so that they get to. So my I know Kez, and I know that in the way that she talks to people is very engaging, and sometimes it's just a conversation with the right person that takes your writing to the next level, isn't it?
Definitely. Sometimes, well, not sometimes, most of the time it's not what you know, it's who you know. And so I introduce my books all the time. I introduce them. Don't be frightened. If you've got a book, let's get out there. If you've got a piece of art, let's get out there. Let's show the world, you know, be proud. Stand up and be proud. You know, I have through these interviews, I do a live Facebook review of all my books. And if anybody sends me a book, they get one too through this program. Got people sending me books because they want more said about their books. So that's another
Yeah,
avenue is
absolutely.
having a live review. Not many people do that,
Do
and
them.
not many people get that in their lives. And it's a service that's involved with Tony Radio. So, you know, write your books, do your artwork. You know, there's absolutely nothing stopping you in this world from being creative. Nothing.
And humans are meant to be creative because it's that part of their brain that is important for keeping you engaged in the world and your life. So whether that's artwork or writing, just as Kez says, do it. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, and it came up a bit when I was doing the research, was the age-old question of whether writers are born or made. What do you think, Kez?
Born, born. But on saying that, Tony, when you look back in history, people have been carving words into rocks since the year dot. People have been putting paintings on rocks. Look at Australia, look at our cave art from the
Oh,
Aboriginals.
yes.
It's millions of years old.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it is. So it's been happening long before we were even thought of, long before that. And it's a way of communication. Yes, creativity is involved, but it was man's way of communication, and that hasn't stopped. That's not stopped. So whether we get out there and we put in a beautiful garden, that's communing with nature. It's artistic, it's creative. You know, no matter what you do, I mean, got a friend that makes beautiful flower, big flower hanging baskets. And they're circular. I don't know how she does it. They're circular. And she's in her own world. You don't disturb her because she will tell you the time to arrive, to come and see her. And she's always in her little potting shed, but very creative. Again, she journals every day. And that's the thing about writing, journaling, getting some artwork done. It doesn't matter what sort of creativity it is. Doesn't have to be a flower pot or a piece of art, painting on a canvas or writing on a
Yes.
book. You can be
Yes.
creative. What about dance? There's all
Yes.
these creative avenues that we've had with us since the earth was evolved. Whether it was beating a
Yeah.
drum, how did they make the drum? Let's talk about that. How
Yeah.
did they make the drum? They were creative.
Yeah.
They found out that if you flipped a piece of, I don't know, animal hide against the wall, it made a noise. Let's get that noise going.
It is
Human voices.
when you stop to. When you
That
stop
we've
to
always
think about.
harmonized.
Your question about the drum, when you stop and think, well, gosh, that was a pretty creative moment for whoever it was that worked out how to make a drum, hide over something that makes this wonderful a noise. Amazing what the human mind can create, isn't it?
Creativity has been with us since we
Mm-hmm.
existed. We've just
Yes.
evolved with that. The thing is, what's evolved now with the writing and artists, it's become a competition instead of a joy.
I was going to say there is a lot of competition out there in the book world. Lots of people want to write or desire to write, and there's some basics to writing that are probably pretty important if you want to go far with your writing. What do you think has those basic writing skills should be composed of?
That's a hard question for 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Just thinking it's a bit earlier. I sort of thought that if you really want to write and craft it as a career, then you should probably make sure that you've got a good comprehension and understanding of spelling and punctuation, some sentence and paragraph construction, and a bit of an understanding about creating characters and developing a story and the structure of a story. But you don't have to go to formal education to increase those skills, do you? You can, like, if you Google anything you want to know, you can find out, can't you?
That's where, when I first started, I had no idea, absolutely no idea. But I was in the middle of the outback in a place called Cloncurry. I was in a miners' camp, and I had no Wi-Fi, nothing. So I wrote, and I taught myself. Now, when it wasn't flooding, because you get winter, the summer rains or whatever,
Big
the
floods out
storms
there.
over there. And the school library would be inches deep in water, so you couldn't get in there. But when I was able to, I got a thesaurus out, I got a dictionary out because I didn't have those things with me. I made my way to a stationery store and bought a thick pad, many pencils. I created the scene of how I saw myself as an author. I created that scene. So then. We only had a bed in the little wee, well, little wee. It's called a
Dongas.
donga, but everybody else would know it as a hut. So a bed and a little table, and I wrote. Now I would sit down and I would write all morning, and then lunch would be served at the canteen, and there'd be a huge lineup. That story would not leave my head. Then I'd go back, and I would type it up. I had no, I was never fantastic with spelling, and I'm not good with punctuation. But as the years have rolled by and I have got out more books, I now edit myself. So if someone sends me a book and says, what do you think? I'll go through it and I'll give it a soft edit and a soft proofread. I don't call myself a professional, but you learn the skills. You watch other
Yes,
people do it,
if
you
you
think,
do it
oh.
enough.
Now, the best advice I was ever given was by my eldest daughter, who said to me,
Yes.
Mum, when you use a comma, it's taking a breath. And when you use a full stop, it's the end. Now, I've used that, and it's perfectly true. So that simple little advice I used. I thought, how do I do this? How? And I got all upset because I thought it's never going to be published, you know, but it was published, it was taken on. And I've also self-published. Now you'll find when you self-publish, if you've got a really good printer, he'll look at the store and he'll think, no, that's not right. He'll get back to you. Well, I've had that happen a couple of times. They'll get back to me and say, that isn't, it doesn't sound correct. Because as they're, they just don't, some printers, especially these instant printers, will just take what you give them and print it. And what's on that piece of paper is your responsibility. But a really good old-fashioned printer will actually have a quick read. They'll actually do a read scroll through and they know what they're talking about. I just found that your skills improve. Now, there are those people out there that have got masters in the English language, and masters in writing, and they've got all sorts of numbers and letters after their name when it comes to writing a book. And I just find that sometimes their work has no emotion because they're so busy with the technicalities of writing, they've forgotten to put the love into the story. So there's all ways of looking at it. There's always.
I like that you said that you're not a you weren't a good speller, because that's one thing that I would be lost without my Grammarly program, because spell checks everything for me. And what you're trying to say, Kez, is that you don't have to be perfect, because there are tools and things that can help you create better stories and to write better. I know that Grammarly helps me enormously. Mind you, I don't always agree with it in terms of sentence construction, but the spelling is right. That's why I have it, because my spelling. I recognize that I'm not the best speller in the universe, even though I was quite good at spelling in school and throughout school. I'm not the best speller now, and I need something that will pick up whatever I write, because I write lots in my daily life. I am writing from emails to show notes to social media posts to all sorts of things. I write all the time, in all different sorts of ways. And the only thing that doesn't get spell checked is my journal. So goodness knows if the grandchildren ever read that, they'll go through and go, oh my God, Nana, you really could not spell, could you? So I'm quite okay with admitting that I'm not a speller. My husband will often say to me, if you're going to do something that's important, make sure you give it to me to read first.
My husband does that too. I don't even say anymore. I just take it, I say, read this. And he go and he says, your spelling or your punctuation needs to be reworked. And I'll go and then I get offended and I'll say, it's perfectly all right. No. And I know he's right and I'm wrong. But we and that's the beauty of going through a publisher. It really is. I can't speak highly enough of gaining yourself a publisher. Not only do they back you, but they have editors coming out of the portholes everywhere. And so they choose an editor that will
People
suit
check your
you. Yeah. And they go through it. Okay, so it costs a little bit of money, but you've got a perfect book. You know, I couldn't,
Because
without my
there,
editors going over some of my books, I would not survive.
I'm just going to say, Kez, we should never, if you're intending to write and write books, then your editor will be one of the most important relationships you have, because they see what you miss. Because when you write something and you've written it dozens and dozens of times and rewritten it and et cetera, you won't pick up the things that others will pick. So that external eyes on your work, though scary as it sounds, is absolutely important to create something that a greater audience will want to read.
It's the same as when you're doing some
You go.
artwork. When you're doing some artwork, you're supposed to work with a colour wheel. And a colour wheel,
Oh,
a colour wheel will
I
tell you
didn't
what
know
colours you
that.
can you can and can't use or mix together. Now, me being me, I think that's not right, and I mix and I end up with mud. So I think I better go back to the colour wheels. So, but you know, again, My father, who was an ink maker for the newspapers, he taught me about the beauty of colours. So it's all bred. My mum was a poet and a songwriter. So I've had all this in my life. I didn't know what I was going to be. I had no idea. I'm a school teacher by trade. So it's just, learning. It's in your, if you're going to be really good at something, make sure you do the learning about it. Make sure you take that on board. Make sure that you've got someone that's very kind and loving to read your first manuscript. And that's where I step in as a consultant, because I guide you. And then I'll say it's time for an editor. It's because as you know, when you're a writer, you can actually put your heart and soul and your tears and sweat into a book. The love that you feel for the manuscript you've got in front of you. It's not a book until it's published. So
That's
just be
right.
patient and play around with it. Read it through yourself. Have four or five copies. Get yourself some beta readers. Well, by that I mean get yourself some friends that will all look at your manuscript, pick out the
And go.
faults, pick out the misspelt words, and get them to write a review for you on the back of your manuscript. Always leave a blank page there. Yeah, it's very important.
Yes, do you have a circle of beta readers for your books that do you have people around you that you send your manuscripts off to for them to read before you go to an editor, or do you get it edited first and then send it to your beta readers?
My publisher works on that a fair bit for me, but I do have a certain amount of people that read my book. So I guess you can call it a wee following. I have two or three people that say, I can't wait for your next book. So I've got a little following there and I trust them. So when I say, because they've been reading what they've read all my books, so I will pick maybe four and say, would you be so kind as to read this fresh manuscript for me, and you'll get a free book. At the end of it, the book is yours. That's my way of a payment.
Thanking them.
But a beta reader should not be charging. Number one should not be charging. They do it as, it they yeah, they
A
sort of
service
look
to
upon you as
humanity.
they're lifting another author up. And that's the way it should be looked. Some do charge and some don't. So
Oh,
make sure,
really?
yeah, some do, some don't. Some make a living out of it.
And oh, really? That I
Yeah.
didn't know. I didn't know that you could make a reading out of being a living out of being a beta reader. I thought that it was, something that you just did for the good of humanity. Because again, that alternate perspective on your writing is always good and should always be welcomed. You don't have to agree with everything that they say, but often there'll be nuggets of really great
Oh, yeah.
ways to craft a sentence or change the way that you're writing about such and such.
That's why I leave a blank page at the end. It's fully lined, and I would love your review, please. And so I give them the opportunity. They don't have to go find pen and paper. I often
It's right
include
there.
a pen as a gift. It's all yours. And they get back to me. They keep the pen. They can keep the pen. But I get a review.
And that's really helpful in
Oh,
the
yes.
in releasing a book to
Yes.
have reviews that you can put with your book before you
Yep.
actually get to the final portion. And when the book's released, then there's the additional reviews. How important are reviews to books and writers?
Very, very important. Very important. Now, it's not, to me, it's not the name that goes under the review. That can be from anybody. It's the actual review itself. So, and I'm very careful about what goes in my book. You don't want anything that's negative. So I see them, I read them, and a lot of them are on Amazon. I've got 5-star reviews on all my books on Amazon. How did they get there? Well, not then none of them. I know two of them. I don't know the rest of them. They've read the book and they've written something really nice.
And it's good.
It is good, but if you can't write something nice, then don't write something at all. Write something constructive. So, and then write to the author and let her know, or let them know that you found something that you didn't understand. Could they clarify it for you? Don't go putting it on such a huge, widely read stage as Amazon.
Yes.
Because it's not going to do you any favours. It's not going to do the author any favours. But try and be kind. But it's with a review. Yeah, I don't know. With my first review, I thought, oh, someone's giving me a review. How exciting. I couldn't wait to read it. And it was lovely. And I sort of like a little extra hat that I, a feather in my cap, I should say, that I wore all day because someone had read the book and put a review in. It not only builds the author up, it builds up the other readers that will go to a bookstore or go to Amazon to choose your book, read the reviews and think, oh, that sounds interesting. That's how important a review is.
Yes. I know back when I first published my book, somewhere along the line, I got this really horrendous review on Goodreads. And I tried to actually glean from the reviewer the constructive bit that would have been helpful for making me a better writer. But they just were only interested in slamming everything that I'd written. And rather than helping me write better, I still can't think of that review without my heart going. And it's the only bad review I've ever had. And I remember people saying to me, oh, you haven't made it as a writer until you have a bad review. But I actually like what you're saying is better, Kez. If you can't say something nice, then don't say it at all. And I actually found, exactly. I would have valued constructive criticism versus just having a crack at someone because, you know, of what they'd written. I would much rather have you say, well, perhaps you could have said it this way or that way. That's very helpful for writers, don't you think?
I do, but also remember, if it's your first book, it's your first dipping your toe in that huge, huge bucket of water of many, many, many professional authors. Don't let it put you back. You know, find someone within your sphere of friends or whatever, and what did you think of the book? And tell them, be honest, I got the stinky review. Be honest with them. You know, what did you think of the book? So this is why I say when you pass your manuscript on, make sure that you might give a little gift like a pen, the promise of the book when it's published. Please leave me a review. And they give you the review, but they don't, they can give you the whole thing back, the manuscript and the review. I normally get the manuscript back and it's underlined and I say go for it. If you find a mistake, some people are offended by that. I wouldn't be offended if someone underlined my work. And I have been told off about
especially if someone found a spelling mistake, because I know that that's my shortfall.
Yeah, but it's not your shortfall. Once it's been to an editor, it's not your shortfall.
It's theirs. So they should have picked up the...
Well, it's the proofer's word. You have an editor and then it goes to a proofer, proofreader. That should all be picked up. Now, coming from New Zealand, Tony, there's a lot of Maori words in my book. That's when I have to take action and make sure that everything, you know, you imagine a Kiwi and a New Zealander picking up a book and spelling, everyone spells Rotorua wrong. And you've spelled it wrong. Kiwi. No, it's not. But make sure. And I've been pulled up a couple of times because my Australian spelling, when I talk about going around Australia, has been wrong.
Yes.
Or I called something the fruit bowl of Australia. and it wasn't. So it was the next township on was the fruit bowl. So these things, that's what a good editor does. She told me off, really told me off and said, get it right. If you're going to write about Australia, get it right. To me, that's constructive.
Yeah.
No matter how it was said, it was constructive. I took that on board immediately and went right through my book again. Yeah. You know how you do it. You go on to search on stuff like that. Search up all the Australian names and made sure each one was put in the right
Well, you're
place
right.
at the for the right description of the book. But that's
Yeah,
constructive. It
yeah.
might be harsh to you at the time because your heart's on your
Yeah.
sleeve. It's your first
Yeah.
big dip into that big pool, and you're thinking, oh my God, this
Yeah.
is awful. But it's not. Not if you're going to be a good writer. So just
Yes.
take it on the chin. But
Yeah.
if it's not nice, then just ignore it. If it becomes a
Yeah.
personal attack, ignore it.
Yeah, and I guess that's something that I learned is that people can attack you personally, which was very, the review was written as a personal attack. But it took me
That's
a
wrong.
while to actually stand back from that and go, actually, they're not really talking about the book. They're trying to attack me. So, okay, all right, I'll, take a step back. But you're absolutely right. It should be about the writing and the book that you've written versus and a personal attack.
Well,
And
they don't
I'm
know anything
sure
about you.
no, that and that's right. That in retrospectively you can remember all those things, but I know the first moment that I read it, it was just a heart dropping
Oh,
feeling. And then sort of work through and move on and off. So have you ever had bad reviews, Kez? I can't imagine that you would have.
I've had two. Yeah. Two bad reviews
Oh, yes.
that were a personal attack on me. Yeah.
Yes.
It
Yeah.
wasn't about the
Yeah.
book. It
See,
wasn't
that's
about
what
the
I
book.
think. Yes. Yes.
It was jealousy. And there was no reason to be jealous because it was my first foray into the publishing world to get published. It was my very first time. So there
Absolutely.
was no need for
Yeah.
the jealousy. There was no need for the dislike. But that's how,
Yes.
first of all, I couldn't believe it. And like you, I thought, this is wrong. I went away and I mulled it over and I journaled about it and I
Yes.
spoke to it about my husband
Yes.
because I find
Yes.
when I verbalize things, it's better for me. And
It is.
I suddenly realized this is a personal attack. It's not about the book. It's about
Yeah.
jealousy. And
Yeah.
they're just spewing. So
Yes.
I just,
Yes.
what I did was I did a ceremony. And I know that may sound weird. I ripped it up and I burnt it. And I thought, right, go with
No,
the wind.
I that ceremonies around negativity are powerful
They are.
ways to dispense the energy and to get rid of the hurt surrounding
That's
whatever it
right.
is that's negative.
And then the
Well,
other
Kev,
thing I
we
was
are. Yeah.
told to do was put their names in the ice box. So I did. I wrote their
Now,
names and
see,
stuck them in.
I was just going to say, I had a manager many, many years ago, and that was one of the things that she taught me that stayed with me for years was write their name on a piece of paper, pop it in a Ziploc bag, fill it with water, and pop it in the freezer. And you freeze the energy, and it ceases to have any power over your life. I tell you, I use that a lot, and it did seem to work. And I haven't had to do it for a decade or so. But yes, I've done that as well. The old freezer, name in the freezer.
You should see
You just
my
go
husband's
there.
face when he finds names in the ice box.
Yes, definitely. Oh, Kez, listen, we have come to the end of another show for this week. And thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. Kez and I will be back next week. Hopefully, we'll have a wonderful author to introduce you to and talk about their book. But if you want to connect with us, if you're an author and you want some promotion for your book and for us to talk to you about your writing journey, please get in contact with us, radiotony.com, or you can jump on Kez's website and connect with Kez Wickham St. George. Who better to talk to than a best-selling international author live on a radio show? Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We will be back next week. Over to you, TJ, and bye for now. Thanks, Kez.
Bye-bye.